The following opinions are not necessarily those of RMG Radio, its employees, or advertisers. Dion Evans Live is a production of the Religiozine Media Group.
Live from the Financial Center building in RMG Studios, it's Dion Evans Live, where truth is raw and uncut. We're glad you joined us for another exciting look at news, relationships, and sex. And now, without further delay, it's your boy, Dion Evans.
What's going on, world? It's Dion Evans Live, Truth Raw and Uncut. We're going to have a good one today. Did I say we're going to have a good one? Uh-huh. Let me correct that. It's going to be excellent. I got in studio, I got Kelsey Arsenal. I got Enos Jackson in studio. I'm really excited because I have Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney. She's going to be on with us today as we discuss a scholastic perspective of the Old Testament and what we have witnessed at this new birth crowning. Although I know there's a lot of spin going on. I know there's a lot of new videos out there, and a lot of videos have been shut down. Law teams have contacted particular YouTube and bloggers and said, take it down, or we're threatening lawsuits. Yeah. Asia Simone's video, down. Kevin Oliver's videos, down. And a few others. Wow. Second segment today, we're going to talk about HIV positive and how to support. Are we still having to learn how to support people with HIV AIDS? Well, we're going to get into it. So I got Enos in studio with us. Segment three, Ask Kelsey. You know, we're getting ready for the launch of Ask Kelsey Show. And so we have her in here. We're going to talk about it. Segment four, you know, we always have Ejanea Canton, health and fitness guru. And she's going to be talking about farmed raised fish. Uh-oh. Some of your diets are going to change today. Before we get into it, want to take the time to give you a number, 510-251-1274. That is the number if you'd like to be a part of this awesome conversation. I want to get right into it. Let's do it. Let's get on the line right now, Dr. Will Gaffney. Now, Dr. Will Gaffney is an associate professor, Hebrew and Old Testament, Lutheran Theological Seminary at Philadelphia. At least that's the bio I have. If there's any updates to it, I'm sure she will let me know. Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
Doing excellent. So honored to have you on the line with us, Dion Evans Live, Truth Raw and Uncut, broadcasting internationally. Let's talk a little bit.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. I got to look at this video. I got to see various videos regarding the quote-unquote coronation of Eddie Long, known as the Bishop at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. And then this article came out almost immediately with your name on it, got to reading it, and said, praise God that somebody knew from a scholastic perspective and biblical perspective how to answer. I appreciate you for being ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us with meekness and fear. And you saved a lot of people. I got to say that internationally. You saved a lot of people from believing in something because of what they saw and what they may have felt was right, even though the reality of it is there was no right, no righteousness in it, and it wasn't biblical at all. Talk to me about how you first saw the video and what made you ultimately respond in the article that you wrote.
Oh, thank you. I was given a link to it on Facebook. A colleague who's an editor at the Feminist Wire blog site tagged a whole bunch of us who were scholars and asked us to please respond to it. I was literally in a retreat, but I had some hours when I could go online. When I clicked on the video, it wasn't 20 or 40 seconds, really the first statement that he made from that particular video's editing was just so appalling to me. I was saying to myself, well, that's not right, it's this. No, not that, this. And I literally opened up a blank Word document next to the video player, and every time he completed a sentence, I just had to type something down because literally everything that came out of his mouth was a misrepresentation, and the entire thing was a desecration of the Holy Torah, just a blasphemy. It was horrendous.
I agree with you. I don't know which video you saw first, but when I saw the first video I saw, the first thing I heard come out of who was known as Rabbi Ralph Messer was, "I feel the anointing in this place." I thought, I don't think we feel anointings in the place. It's in us. And so I already knew kind of when I heard that line, I was like, okay, where are we going? What's going on? This is New Birth, so I am kind of used to stuff being biblically flawed. However, I'm willing to see what the truth and what the deal is. You opened a Word document and started responding line by line, word by word, and giving a response. I took a look at your article, and your article is posted on my Facebook page for those who haven't got a chance to read it. I suggest everybody not only read your article, but send that article to every friend they have. It is a very worthy read, of which you outlined 27 different points that need to be considered. I want to get back to you real quick, Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney. You are, did I get your information right? You are a part of a seminary in Philadelphia.
That's correct.
And the name of the seminary, Lutheran Theological Seminary at Philadelphia. You have an MDiv at Howard University and a PhD from Duke University.
That's correct.
I lift these things because I want people to know, because sometimes in the African-American community, when we hear the word doctor, people just assume. I wanted our listeners to know that, yes, you are talking to a real earned dissertation doctorate from an accredited and very credible institution, Duke University, who's known more for than just basketball. So we're glad to have you online with us. Tell us, what is the main thing, Dr. Gaffney? What is the main thing, those who watched the video, what, for those that were watching it, and we were experiencing the crowd, of which Ralph Messer in a video later said there was about 8,000 people in the room, but these people were cheering and chanting. They were expecting this to happen, in my opinion. In my opinion, they were expecting it to happen. What was your read on it?
It was clearly an intentional act, and one of the things we know now is that Ralph Messer has gone to a variety of churches where leaders were in some type of trouble concerning their integrity, for example, Paula White's church, and he has done this ritual before, so it is difficult for me to believe that Eddie Long did not know what was going to happen, that he didn't know, as a bishop, what he was inviting this other clergy person in to do. So I believe there was some expectation, and even if the congregation did not know what would unfold, because there's some evidence there's not a lot of communication at that institution, they know how to respond to what's presented to them. And so those who remain in that church know to respond enthusiastically to whatever it is they see and hear. But what I'm concerned about is what you alluded to, that people don't know what he was saying, how false it is. People don't know anything about ancient Israelite traditions, even if they read the Bible repeatedly. People don't know anything about Judaism, mm-hmm. And how disrespectful this act was. And there is a whole lot of ignorance here, which is not a bad thing. That just means you don't know something. But as an educator, as a pastor, as a priest in the Episcopal Church, that ignorance deeply concerns me, and it's my calling, my vocation, to teach. So I've now had to start teaching on the internet, on Huffington Post, on a blog site, on a website, because people need to know these things.
Well, I'm so glad that you are taking up the mantle of teaching, because I will say one of the positives of this entire thing is it has forced me to say, you know what? I know my Old Testament pretty well, but I did not know my Old Testament at a level that I would have felt comfortable to respond in lightning time like you did. You are a hero, a heroine to me, because you were ready to answer immediately, and you wrote it. It was scholastic. It was sound. And for those of us who know anything about the Bible, we was able to see the truth in what you were saying. Let's talk about the claim about these Holocaust Torahs. Now, in my opinion, he said that this Torah was a Holocaust Torah. It was 312 years old. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I just been to the Holy Land once. It was just about a year and a couple of months ago. But I don't know if you can roll out a 312-year scroll and it's gone be able to withstand gravity at the level that withstood gravity. Help me understand it.
Well, that's technically possible if a scroll is handled well, preserved well. There are some extraordinarily old scrolls. However, 312 is a particularly excessive claim, and I would expect a scroll like that to be in a museum in a room that's sealed for moisture and humidity and temperature regulated. It's hard to believe that a scroll that's drug out in the common air would be both that old and in that condition. Having not examined it, I can't refute it, but that does sound like a suspicious claim to me. In addition, others who have watched the video frame by frame, I have to admit I watched it one time and I couldn't go back, have pointed out that there appears to be a piece of scotch tape holding a portion of it together, which makes it further suspect. So I have great difficulty with that claim. He's not someone that I trust to make that claim. So it's not impossible that he bid on a Holocaust tour at an auction somewhere, but if so, it's a treasure and should not be handled in the way it was handled.
I agree with you 100%. I did go back and watch the video. I too had received people say, man, did you see the scotch tape? I said, I didn't see that at first, but I went back and sure enough, the scotch tape was coming apart and the tour, while it was being suspended in midair, was starting to rip in the back. So I did see that. I did notice that. Now, he said, again, this guy who calls himself a rabbi, Ralph Messer, he says that the Torah is covered in a foreskin. When I first heard that, I was like, a foreskin? That don't quite seem kosher to me. And you wrote about it. It's the second thing you talk about in your bullet points in your article. Unpack that for us a bit.
Well, one of the things is about the Eddie Long ministry is that he uses a lot of sexualized language and sexual suggestion, even apart from the accusations of sexual misconduct. So when he talks about, you know, daddy issues and being a man and sowing seed into stuff, he's frequently using sexual innuendo. And so by suggesting that the Torah has a foreskin, that is simply saying that it is a penis. And so what does it mean to say that the Word of God, the scroll of God, is a penis? Is he claiming that this is God's penis? Is he, God forbid, claiming that it's an extension of Eddie Long's penis? That kind of sexual language is so grossly inappropriate, and even worse, in a context where a clergy person is known to have used his pastoral authority to sexually abuse members of the congregation. That is just atrocious. I don't even have a word bad enough for that right now.
You know, it's interesting that you brought up this whole sexualization of terms, because I remember watching a video of Eddie Long, again, known as the bishop at New Birth Missionary Baptist Church, and he refers to God's word as his sperm, and that you got to get the sperm of God in you in order to be impregnated by God. And so it's interesting that you would bring that up, because now that that video comes back to my mind, I'm like, wow, are we really in a day where people are really using sexualized terms like this to define biblical teachings, to define the Bible, the sacred writs? And if so, has this been going on so long, and have we become so accustomed to this type of language in other avenues that now it has crept into the church and we are so desensitized to it that we are no longer angered when the Word of God is referred to in such light?
Well, it horrifies me. It may be normative in some circles, but it's certainly not normative in my church or in my experience, and I think a lot of people reacted strongly to that language. Lots of my Jewish colleagues and friends, those in the Messianic Jewish community, those who are authentically in the Messianic Jewish community, who say that Ralph Messer is not part of their community, I think the great majority of people found this horrible, but it says something about the little worldview in which Eddie Long and Ralph Messer live, that they can just run this language off and expect not to be challenged on it, that they think that that's appropriate language, that they have this world that none of the rest of us live in. We think this is horrible misrepresentation of Scripture. And not because there's anything wrong with the human body or sexual reproduction or sexual activity, but because holy sexuality is being distorted in a way that is extraordinarily problematic.
Very well said. He talked about the Torah wrapper. He referred to it as the belt of righteousness. And I noticed he called it the belt of righteousness, but that he never connected to Ephesians 6 at all in the spiritual armor, in the whole armor of God. And so you write about it not being referred to as the belt of righteousness. Please explain that a little bit further for us.
That's just not what it's called. You know, it's called the wrapper, you know, the Torah tie. There's a particular Hebrew word for it, but it's just simply not called the belt of righteousness. That's an untruth. My mother told me not to call people liars, so I'm trying not to say that. But, you know, your name is not John. I mean, there's nothing else to be said about that. That's just not your name.
Absolutely.
That was not true.
He refers to, I'm looking at point five, he refers to the tree in the vision of the book of Revelation, to the leaves are for the healing of the nations, and he refers to it as the Torah. And I'm like, no, I don't think that's the Torah. And you actually write about it. You talk about it being right. A fruit tree. Explain that a little bit. And this whole thing about 39 leaves, I actually missed that point in the video.
Okay. So what he's doing is he'll say something about the Torah scroll or the ritual, and then he'll just reach and grab a random piece of scripture, and he'll do something like, see, so this proves that. So he says, well, the Torah scroll has 39 leaves, 39 lambs' skins sewn together. That's kind of saying, Brother Dion, that you have two fingers. You do have two fingers. You also have three and four and five, and having not met you, I'm going to guess you go up to 10.
Right.
Yes, the Torah has 39 leaves. It also has 80 leaves, or perhaps even more than 80. So he just picked a number at random. Maybe his Torah has been cut off, so it only has 39 leaves. Maybe it's not even a complete Torah scroll. But so that number was wrong. And then he says, well, this tree that's described in the book of Revelation, that's the Torah. Now, sometimes the Bible talks about the Word of God and the Torah as being the tree of life, but not in that place. In that place, it says that the leaves on this tree, and it describes its fruit, are for the healing of the nations. It doesn't even say that there are 39 leaves or 80 leaves or any number of leaves. But he just takes this idea and a couple pieces out of the scripture, and he puts them together in, I'm going to call it a sloppy Joe, and says, and here you are. Here's a banquet out of the Word of God. He's just making stuff up, doing random word associations, and it reminded me of the workshop inkblot test. You know, you see some dots on a paper, and someone says, well, they see a rabbit, and someone else says, they see a forest of trees. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure what he's looking at half the time.
Wow. Now, you know, Dr. Gaffney, again, we have Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney. She is an associate professor Hebrew and Old Testament at Lutheran Theological Seminary at Philadelphia, and we're glad to have her as our guest today. Real quick, now I totally applaud people who have finished their doctoral work and are teaching in the field and have maintained. I have not completed my doctoral work, and that's one of the reasons because I refuse to do it online or in an unaccredited place. I need to do it where I am on campus and doing that type of stuff. But I do know the difference in exegetical and eisegetical. Does it appear that a lot of the things, I want to know from you as a scholar, that a lot of the things that we heard in this video were very much eisegetical and lacked exegetical teaching?
Yes, and eisegetical, that is drawing from his own imagination. And it's a very, I'll say, fertile and creative imagination, because he's not even drawing in straight lines. It's almost like telling a story based on an object. You know, so he takes one object and then he spins this fantastical picture and loops out and comes back. There's not even a straight line between his points. He's just spewing forth stuff that makes absolutely no sense. And most importantly, for people who are in the Christian community, he is making false claims about the scriptures, the text that we hold to be sacred, and he's also insulting Judaism, treating with disrespect the sacred objects in Judaism. It would be as though someone came into your church, took your communion set off of your altar, and went back to their place and had a party or let their dogs drink out of them. I mean, he disrespected the Torah scroll in such a way. When a Torah scroll is damaged, we mentioned it was ripped. A Torah scroll is actually buried in the earth. If it can't be repaired, it's buried. He just completely desecrated a holy object.
Let me ask this question, because, you know, he talked about it being dug up in a World War II space. Is it possible that he dug up this scroll from it being buried because it did have a rip? Is that possible?
Anything is possible, and I wouldn't put it past him. If that's the case, then it's a looted Torah scroll, and it needs to be surrendered to the Jewish community, to a museum. If someone found a Torah scroll in someone's backyard because it had been hidden by Jews during World War II, it's not finders keepers. If that's what happened, it needs to be surrendered.
Let me ask you this question, Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney. What does it say? Because I'm trying to pick my words carefully here. I've been black my whole life. I'm pretty sure I'm going to die that way. But I'm disturbed at the people in the service that day believed they had an authentic, what's the word I want to use? They had an authentic encounter with the Holy Spirit. I mean, these people shouted like it was the Super Bowl. Yeah. And yet their own leader issues an apology to the Jewish community, the Anti-Defamation League. What does that do psychologically for the people who are believing, I've experienced God, and oh, this was holy, and oh, this is so right, and the people who broke out in tongues and started dancing, all in the sanctuary at New Birth, all to discover less than a week later, it was all a sham?
I think that speaks powerfully to how constructed some religious experiences are. It seems as though that's not a congregation that is invited and encouraged to think critically. I really believe that there's an expectation that people respond in a particular way, that they have been cultured and nurtured and groomed in some of the ways that you see in cults. And so there's almost no other response. Whatever comes across that stage that has the approval of their in-house bishop, they receive as though they receive it from God, because they've been taught repeatedly. He speaks to God. He hears from God. What happens there is what God wants. And, of course, the people who are still members of that church are there intentionally, in spite of a whole lot of things that the rest of us know, so they have already elected to disregard a lot of other information. It shows me how vulnerable and how subject they are to him and his programming. And that deeply concerns me. That says that they're not thinking critically. They're not engaging. They have surrendered their wills in some cases. That is deeply disturbing to me as well.
Wow, you just said that they have surrendered their will in some cases. That concerns me, because New Birth, in my opinion, is just a microscope to what's happening nationally in a lot of our, I hate to say it, African-American black churches, where there is this heroism, this celebrity status. And you don't have to have a church of 8,000 people to operate like this. Some guys operate like this with 8 members. And so this is something very prevalent that's going on in America. And I know it's not just in the black church, but I'm real concerned about the black church, because I believe at least in these other churches, scholarship is at least available and at least accepted. But in our cases, it's not as accepted. Anti-intellectualism rules the day. And then we find ourselves having these experiences that are then debunked by others. And instead of us gravitating towards truth, we further dig in our heels for a leader that we need to be right, even if the leader's wrong, because we don't want to look at ourselves as fallible. How do we break that mold, Reverend Gaffney?
Some of it has to do with our very basic understanding of church. Some people think church is a hierarchy, is a top-down institution. Other people think of church as the body. So there are places where decisions can't be made unless a community agrees on it. But when you have a charismatic individual, or an individual who's power hungry, or both, someone who's charismatic and power hungry, who's saying, this is the way it works. You all don't need to see the budget. You all don't need to vote on that. You all don't need keys to this. You all don't need to have access to that. When a community allows itself to be governed and ruled that way on an imperial model, then they have set themselves up for this kind of situation. So I agree with you that it's certainly not limited to mega churches, and it's not limited to African-American community, but we do have a particular concern for our own people. It is these in some cases, independent churches, even though Baptist churches have associations, each Baptist church is an individual church in that polity. It's when I find they're not denominational structures or boards of elders who have real authority and power, when that pastor is not accountable to anyone, when there aren't fellow pastors who are holding that pastor accountable, when there's not a real Episcopal system, a bishop who has some authority over that pastor, when that person can do whatever they want, then if that person is a broken person, is a despotic person, then that congregation is going to suffer because of their personality.
Personality driven. No better way than to say it. Personality driven. Let me ask this question. Again, we have Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney. She is Associate Professor Hebrew and Old Testament, Lutheran Theological Seminary at Philadelphia. And let me tell you, Nation, she was on target and on time. An immediate response. I couldn't watch the video before, not too long after that, seeing her response. I praise God for her Apostle Peter spirit to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear. I praise God that she took the time and didn't take the perspective, touch not my anointed. Matter of fact, since I brought that up, what do you think, Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney, of people who do look at the Word of God, care more about the Bible than they care about personalities, speak the truth in love, even in hostile waters on these issues, and people respond, well, no, you shouldn't talk against the man of God because the Bible says, touch not mine anointed.
Well, that's an issue of context. David had people who spoke truth into his life. He had Nathan. The reality is that God always holds all of us accountable. For every person in the biblical text who gets out of order, there is someone around to talk to them. And just because the person is a prophet in that particular story does not mean that in our world only a clergy person can say that. People are taking that text, touch not my anointed, completely out of context.
Very well. I want your thoughts real quick before we let you go this first half hour. I praise God. Got to get you back. What was your thought? Now I was already scratching my head and scratching on the computer screen when I saw the stuff that, but when I saw them lift him up in that chair and parade him around the stage, I just about threw my computer out of the 10th floor building. What was your immediate reaction when you saw the same?
It was bizarre. First of all, the elevation in the chair comes straight out of a Jewish wedding. And so even saying, well, this is how you make kings, because, of course, he kept talking about king stuff. I know they've now gone back and said it had nothing to do with making him king, but that is what they were saying at the time. So, again, they took something that had nothing to do. There are very few descriptions of Israelite coronations, but it's not even about lifting in a chair. So it just said to me that this is just stage for effect. They just want to drive the people wild and have them cheering and celebrating. It was just bizarre. What really had me on the floor was when he wrapped that man in the Torah scroll. That was the point that I wanted to, wash out my eyes.
Right. Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney, it has been a pleasure having you. What is your final comment? I need to give you 1 minute final comment. And where should we in this nation who are hearing this interview, what should be our prayers moving forward?
We need to remember that wisdom and understanding are biblical values. God does not want us to be ignorant, and we need to do all we can to learn about the things of God. We can't learn too much about the Bible. We can't learn too much about the ancient context of the scriptures. We can't learn too much about our religious neighbors and relatives, Jewish people. There is no excuse for being ignorant. Learn all you can, and no one will be able to deceive you.
Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney, you knocked the ball out the park. Praise God for you. Had not been for you, many of us would still be lost, and even those of us who knew it was wrong would not have a proper defense as to how to combat this evil. You have done the body of Christ proud. I thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. The Lord bless you. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Come back on the other side. Deion Evans Live, Truth Raw and Uncut. I got Enos Jackson. We're going to get into a little HIV conversation. We'll be back.